And we're back on the WGXC Afternoon Show.
And this is Ann Forbes Cooper. And we have the indie bookstore segment coming up. This is the second in my series looking at independent bookstores in Greene and Columbia County and asking them the question, how do they survive? This week, the first time we dropped by Blackwood and Brower and Kinderhook. And this week we are looking at the Spotty Dog Books and Ale in Warren Street on Hudson. And we have an upcoming interview with Jessica Puglisi, who is the manager there.
On someone's head, and a bullet is shot into their head, and you refuse to take any blame. You're heartless, blind, or insane. Heartless, blind, or insane. Not much of a singing crowd, you know, kind of. This is the new Portland organ. Okay. Well, now I know what we're dealing with. And teach us, give her to the hospital.
Robert Sarazen Blake performing at the Spotty Dog last week. Music and fine ales are two of the reasons the Spotty Dog, owned by Kelly Drahoshak and her husband Alan Kuhn, are able to survive these days. The Spotty Dog bookstore has been a fixture and something of a social and music hub since 2005. It's operated by manager Jess Puglisi. What exactly does it take to survive as a bookstore in this day and age when you're up against the big box stores and the likes of Amazon?
I find what we offer that has made us survive and even vital is a diversity of services that are very personal. We can order books, and everyone who works here is very involved in books. And we also function, as you said, as a social hub. Provide a lot of different events that people can either come to for free or very little money, and we offer beer, so that's been kind of fundamental. We do have a few book clubs that meet here. We have a bi-weekly quiz night, which is a kind of an institution at this point in time. We've been doing it for about five and a half, six years we've been open, and people are, you know, rabidly attached to this. We also have music at least once a week, maybe up to two or three or four times a week. Total diversity of different kinds of music. So, you know, not just folk singers and, you know, what you might expect to find at a bookstore. But obviously, again, we have a very, like, convivial bar environment where it's, like, a laid-back enough place where you can bring your child and have a beer and not feel like that's at odds.
And how many nights a week do you have music?
Well, April's crazy because we had, more shows in 1 month than we've ever had before. But usually, we're having like 3 or 4 shows a week right now, and it's crazy. But generally, we try to keep it, to 1 or 2 just to keep the same, or the crowd, or excuse me, the staff and the audience, not oversaturated. Basically, whenever, but generally on the weekends, at least 1 or 2 nights, we'll have some.
How profitable is the beer part of the equation?
Beer and alcohol and the cafe aspect of it is much more profitable than, say, the books. We also, in addition to books and beer and the cafe, we sell art supplies and also gifts and children's toys and things like that, which also give us a little bit more flexibility because they are more profitable for us than books, which, again, are not very profitable. So the beer definitely sustains us if we have like a slow month, it's like it's there and people are always buying it and we make a lot of money on that comparatively.
Yes, how true. Beer is very sustaining, I find. It's rather sad though that you can't make a profit on books.
Yeah, you can, but it's definitely, I think at this point in time, the most straight ahead bookstore offers coffee or something, some sort of like rudimentary cafe situation.
Right, they have to offer something. Yeah. Well, was it always like this, or did this evolve?
Yeah, actually, when they initially opened Alan and Kelly, it was conceived sort of as one because of their connection. Kelly is the niece of Neil Evans, who owns and operates C.H. Evans, the pump station in Albany. And so he kind of had the idea of opening a brew pub in Hudson. They had already owned the Hudson River Art Supply Store, which is on Lower Warren, and somehow, I wasn't there for this, but at some point in time, the idea to combine a bookstore, an art supply store, and also a brew pub sort of just came together, and that's exactly what they did. But I feel like it's a very sort of like old world almost idea, like to kind of have this like salon-ish environment where, you can combine, like I said, like a very mellow sort of bar scene, like hard drinking, binging sort of people, but just drink and talk about ideas and have like a community, like a third space to inhabit, do a number of different things. That's, yeah.
What sort of beers do you offer?
Well, we initially started with the idea of being another sort of Evans establishment, and so we used to offer almost exclusively Evans Ale and with a couple of guest taps. That evolved as we sort of evolved to include more just like regional, like artisanal brews or whatever. We do try to emphasize local beers. We've been getting a lot of beer from Crossroads, which is a new brewery in Athens. They're wonderful. Everybody loves them. We love them.
Yes, we interviewed them a couple of weeks ago. Yes.
Yeah, they're fantastic. We try to like bring at least a few local taps, have a couple of Evans on tap, but at this point in time, we'll kind of, anything that's good artisanal is a strong word, like craft brew, often have Dale's Pale, which is from Colorado, and Left Hand Brewery. Anything that's like a good, solid, interesting beer. Yeah, it changes all the time. So.
And you offer food as well?
We can kind of a paltry food selection. We're not ashamed. We've always allowed people to bring in food from the outside too. So, we have like basic snacks, like good vegan cookies and things like that. In as much as we function sort of as a third space, we'll like let you bring in a pizza or something if you want to grab a beer.
So do drunk people buy more books, have you found?
Sometimes, actually, especially if you get in like a heated conversation with somebody and you're trying to prove a point and just kind of shove it in their face and they might go with it, there is a lot of crossover though, people who come here for years and years to drink suddenly realize that they can also buy books here and like vice versa. There's been a lot of aha moments where they realized I can do all this in one place. And also actually the quiz night thing has kind of spawned its own book clubs from people who previously hadn't even known each other and now go and have book clubs together. And
and you have a banned book club? What's yes. that exactly?
That's Kelly who owns the store. She, well, it's not her, I guess it's everyone's book club, but she initiated it. They read banned and challenged books, which it can be anything from Lita to Mark Twain, like Huckleberry Finn. Basically any classic work of anything and modern. They've read Alison Bedchell's like Fun Home, and they'll read graphic novels. They read a Sherman Alexie book for children, or not children, like adolescents, called Part-Time, you know, The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian. And I mean, basically anything with anything in it that's at all scandalous, you can basically find that has been banned or challenged by some crazy school board somewhere, basically. So they read all over the map, and they meet. I'm not sure when they're actually meeting next. They usually meet on a Wednesday once or twice, or once a month.
So anyone interested in banned books, you know where to come.
Exactly. So.
And you're housed in an old firehouse. What's the history of this place?
It was built in, I believe, 1889. It was the C.H. Evans Fire Company. So that goes back to, you know, the Evans connection. There used to be a firehouse in every single block in Hudson, and this is just one of them. Building.
Why was there a firehouse in every single block?
Because, for safety, basically. There were a lot of, especially with, like, burgeoning electricity. I know that I actually did some research about this a few years ago, and, I mean, there were, like, apparently tons of fires all of the time, including one that eventually burned down the brewery, where Evans Ale, which used to be brewed in Hudson. But basically it was a firehouse and social club, a firehouse, which had a very nice grand upstairs space that was used for, you know, any number of games and social events and everything else, until I think it's 2004, when they consolidated all the firehouses except for the one on the block next door, which inexplicably still operates. Alan and Kelly had the building renovated, and upstairs is largely intact. It's like just still a spacious, like, sort of game room with, like, crazy old Victorian wallpaper and, like, nice ceilings and a mantle. Currently it's office space. And Alan, the owner, he operates, he's a graphic designer, and he operates his firm out of there. And we'd looked into perhaps developing it into more retail space, but at this juncture, it's just not practical. Just, you know, we'd also thought about making an event space, also not practical, unfortunately.
Kelly and Alan, they started off as an art supply business.
Yep.
And what made her decide to open up a bookstore with booze?
I think it mainly came down to the fact that Neil Evans had been looking to make this into a brew pub, and I wasn't there for the moment, but I mean, it just seems like it kind of, after like looking around at what Hudson needed, like a bookstore was lacking. They just kind of conceived of it sort of. There's something about the building, I feel, that like lends itself to this sort of like kind of, I don't know, weird. Sort of, not like everything in the kitchen sink, but like, you know, sort of like weird, sort of throw it all together and see what sticks sort of a space. But
right. I mean, the ceiling has this wonderful old woodwork, and is that original?
It is original. I forget the name of the guy who did it. He's just a carpenter, though, and it's kind of a flight of fancy. The chandeliers are not original. They came from Keystone, in which used to be over on, 7th and State, but yeah, and same thing with the doors. It used to be just a kind of a sliding garage door, and those are architectural salvage or whatever.
It's really been fulfilling a role as a community hub here, which is what it originally was it not?
I mean, it was definitely, I think, if not explicitly an intention, like definitely always conceived as a place where that would be a possibility, certainly. And it's kind of exciting to see, like, interact with, like, the Warren Street crowd, but we're also facilitating a lot of the, all of the sales for, like, the Children's Book Festival that's happening in Hudson on May 7th, which is really exciting for us and a great event.
And will you be holding anything here for the Children's Book Festival?
No, because all of our energies are devoted to making sure that everything happens at the school, so we kind of... The spotty dog becomes kind of bare bones on that day, so I hope no one comes here. No, but all of our staff ends up actually at the Children's Festival helping all of that.
And what does the festival do for a bookstore like yourself?
For us, it gives us a whole lot of sales, but I mean, it's a lot of work to put it together. We share the profits with the school system, and that's pretty... I mean, that's great for us, and it's amazing for the school system. I mean, it's such a great event. I mean, it's free for anybody to come and meet any number of, like, 100 children's authors. It's, like, really amazing that it happens here, so we're excited for that.
How do you market yourselves? Do you promote yourselves at all?
I mean, we do kind of mostly among publications in the Hudson Valley. We've had some stuff on WAMC and things like that. I mean, we put out a lot of, like, particularly for the music, I try to disseminate that throughout a lot of different channels. And I mean, a lot of it's been word of mouth. We kind of get ourselves out there. We definitely just kind of emphasize the fact that we are books and ale with art supplies, and people usually get the idea. Certainly we do get phone calls from people who don't understand at all, and like they're like, wait, really, books and beer? And I have to explain.
Right, because that is your actual official name, isn't it? I mean, I said the Spotty Dog Bookstore, but it's actually the Spotty Dog Books and Ale. So the ale part is clearly very important, as it's in your title. Now, where does the Spotty Dog come from?
It's just an allusion to the fact that it used to be a firehouse and Dalmatians, you know, so are affiliated. And so, and also, I think Alan and Kelly drew some inspiration from, you know, the sort of like British pub signifier type, you know, things like, you know, something like that. But I think that was like in the back of their minds.
What do you think the biggest challenge is moving forward?
I know a lot of people are predicting like the demise of printed books. I don't agree with that. I think it's kind of absurd to say that that's going to happen. However, I think a lot of the larger bookstores have trouble staying afloat. Obviously, Borders just went bankrupt because we are selling to a very, like, I want to say, like, a boutique clientele. Like, you know, we have a really, for me, like, what seems like a very, like, lucky sweet spot. We have a very educated, literate community that comes in looking for really good books. I'm constantly learning more about books by serving the people who come in here. That's exciting. And so, which is not really answering your question, but you know, the challenges are staying relevant when people are predicting the demise of all printed media. I don't think that's necessarily the biggest challenge for us, because we're dealing with a lot of people who are like very big bibliophiles and things like that. I think adapting to new technologies, I've been to a lot of people in the book community are like constantly talking about like Kindles and things like that and what to do. We need to think about that, but I think we're in a position where, based on just the way we've approached things thus far, we're going to remain relevant. And
do you have much of an online business?
We talked about it a few years ago. We were going to like sell some books online, and then because we can't really afford to sell them at much of a discount or any discount at all, it seems like a lot of overhead, a lot of things that we would have to do to make it not very much more money, and just like have to ship and everything. And it's like, you know, we have enough trouble keeping special orders straight for people like in house, and so
it would mean a lot more work for not enough return.
Exactly. And I mean, we've thought about doing things like selling our growlers or selling gift certificates or merchandise of the store online, but actually selling our inventory online seems like it, just based on, you know, our staff and what we're able to do, it would be more than we would want to have to handle for not much more business. Unless we also thought about just selling like signed version rare inventory we have, but again, since we do all new books, we don't have exotic antiquarian books to sell that would be found nowhere else.
And just for the benefit of our listeners, explain what a growler is, because I certainly didn't know, and my neighbor who won it in the pledge, he didn't know either.
No, a growler is basically a big jug of beer that is refillable. They are actually called growlers everywhere, to my knowledge, which was just, it works perfectly with our whole dog thing. But basically, it is a jug of beer. You can seal it. You can bring it to any of your fine local breweries or ale houses and have them fill it for you for usually a discounted fee. It means you don't have to recycle all your beer bottles.
I should have brought it along this evening to refill, actually.
Exactly. No, it makes everybody happy, usually. So.
Well, it certainly made my neighbor happy.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about e-books. What's going to be their impact on you or on the trade?
On the trade as a whole, it's changing it completely.
How so? Can you tell us?
Basically, e-books are outselling some paper books. My kind of my personal take on that, this is maybe not the industry take, but I feel that there's always going to be like the James Pattersons, the really big sort of people. It depends what kind of reader you are. If you're a bibliophile, if you're somebody who's like reading and like curating a library and just really into reading, I think you're really going to still buy paper books and be interested in paper books. If you're a person who reads for, you know, entertainment or to pass the time, or because you're on planes all the time and you kind of just buy books to... We are. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you need to carry a lot of books with you, it's for whatever, a trip or something like that, that's where e-books, and again, in my analysis, come in.
How do you think it'll affect you, this bookstore? Is it going to bring in more business?
Well, we're not selling e-books right now, so...
Will you, do you think? Is that in the future?
We've kind of touched on it so far. We haven't explored the idea completely. I know, you know, some indies are doing that. I don't know if we're thinking about it in the immediate... I mean, maybe 5 years down the road, I have no idea what we're going to be doing. But, I mean, at this point in time, we do so much business just kind of with physical books and sell a lot of children's books. And I don't think that you're going to replace children's books with e-books, for example.
Do you think that children's books are represent a sort of different category? Do you think they're more robust in terms of sales?
They're certainly, I mean, they're irreplaceable. You can't hand a child a website to go, like, find a recipe. Or I feel that a child needs books in a physical, practical, touchable way. Whereas, aside from, like, a novel, a lot of the information you get, an adult might get from a book, you can go find in a lot of other ways. Again, personally, I feel that books are the best, but, you know.
Well, you would, didn't you? One other question, actually. I noticed on your website that you were highlighting some of the local authors who had written about Hudson.
Was it the historic Hudson?
Yes.
Yep, that's actually our all-time Spotty Dog official bestseller.
Oh.
It's Bern Fenn, who actually was instrumental in, like, sort of, like, igniting the antique scene.
What's his name again?
Bern Fenn, B-Y-R-N-E-F-O-N-E.
Okay.
Yep. And he had an antique store, I think, back in the 80s here. Which is, you know, really kind of predates the curve. He wrote this book called Historic Hudson, which is fantastic. It's an architectural survey, kind of great photographs of everything. If you live in Hudson, you'll find your building and be really excited to, like, learn when and how it was built. So,
and that's like a perennial bestseller?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally the number one bestseller of all time here. And it's a nice book. It's published by Black Dome, which is out of, I believe, Woodstock. Yeah.
Right, another local publisher here.
Yeah, and they do so much great stuff. Like, I love their books, and we do carry a lot of them, but they're, like, great if you're at all interested in local history. It's kind of hard not to be if you live here, I guess. But.
Working in a bookstore, if you're at all interested in books or literature, is a sort of a dream in a way.
Exactly.
Because you're just surrounded by books. I mean, but...
Yeah. No, I agree entirely. I mean, there's nothing... Like, honestly, like, when I regret sometimes because I've gotten embroiled with other aspects of this business that, like, take me away from actually being able to, like, walk around, like, the stacks or whatever. And it's so inspiring. And if you care about books at all, like, to just... be immersed. And there's, I mean, even, you know, as a librarian, I don't know if you get that same sort of just, like, tactile, constantly new books coming in and out, and people are really eager to talk about them too, so that's fun.
I'm just curious, how do you order books? I mean, what do you decide to stock here and not to stock, given how many books are published each day?
Yeah, I mean, that's a subtle art, and, like, one that, you know, it's constantly evolving. I mean, as it stands now, and I don't know if this is typical of all bookstores, but the way we do it is basically Kelly often meets with the representatives who kind of, like, present the front list titles of, you know, what's new and coming out. She makes a lot of those decisions, and I do a lot of the restocking and basically do my own. I mean, I get my fix basically from, like, a bunch of different, like, book publications that I read and just... in my own meanderings off the clock about and going into bookstores and writing down ISBN numbers of books that look interesting. Basically just, like, kind of what I do is, like, basically free association and, like, finding books that I think will fit here and make sense within what I've seen sold. Choosing which books to reorder is, like, kind of a fine art because a very finite amount of shelf space and it changes. And, you know, there are, like, books that I absolutely love that have sat here for 4 years. And you know,
do books still get remaindered these days? Because isn't that a huge issue in the book trade? What to do with books that don't sell?
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, we are not in the practice of ripping off the cover and sending them back to the publisher. I mean, most publishers and distributors have a pretty, like, flexible returns policy. You know, when you buy directly from the publisher, most publishers give you an indefinite period of time, which is the way the book industry survives, you know, so that you can try new authors and see what works and what doesn't. without having a massive penalty if they don't work out. And so we return books if they don't sell after a certain period of time. I don't know what happens to them afterwards. I mean, we've started selling some remaindered books. I guess we probably need to re-up on that soon, but I mean, you know, we generally, at this point in time, like, you know, we definitely try to keep it new. It's a very, like, weird, subtle, ephemeral art, making sure we have what we need and also what's interesting.
Book that we mentioned earlier, Neil Postman, was that sitting here for years then before it suddenly...
No, it's, I think, you know, it probably... the rule of thumb here, I don't know if this is true again for every single bookstore ever, but basically in order to earn its shelf space, earn its keep, a book needs to sell, an average book, you know, a $14 paperback or something like that, needs to sell 3 times in a year.
Needs to sell 3 times in a year?
Yes.
What does that mean exactly? Three books?
3 copies of it in a year in order to, like, if it's like, you know, not like a bestseller or a new book or whatever, but I mean, in order to, the bare minimum that a book...
In order to sort of make it worthwhile shelf space.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly I have like some sweethearts that haven't sold like that frequently that I'm not going to not order again. I mean,
what's the book that you were most disappointed about that you maybe ordered and it didn't sell?
That's a really sad question. No, I mean, there have been a few. I mean, let me think. I feel like there's got to be like one killer. How about, I can think of a happy one, the opposite of that, which is a new book actually published by McSweeney's that I actually haven't had a chance to read because I think it's about 2,000 pages, called The Instructions by Adam Levin. And I felt kind of bold and ordered 2 copies of that, and we have actually sold both of them pretty quickly recently, and we just got our 3rd copy in today. I'm very excited.
And McSweeney's is the Dave Eggers publishing company.
Exactly.
The magazine.
Yeah. And I haven't read this book, but it looks fantastic, and it's like a brick. It's an amazing looking thing at the very least. So.
Does anything sell other than books and booze? I mean, what about magazines? Do you bother with magazines much?
We don't. The distribution of magazines is a little bit tricky for us, and since, it's like, you know, we do things like the management structure here, at least on, you know, this, we have an art supply manager, and then somebody else helps do the cafe management. But I mean, it's basically, you know, 2 people trying to do this tremendous amount of stuff. So, yeah, we haven't dabbled in that. We do have free magazines, all the free weeklies. And I've been trying in the last year to kind of develop our, like, literary publications, like our literary quarterlies. It's been a little tricky just knowing what's what. But we also, I mean, our art supplies, you know, I feel like I shouldn't downplay them, or not downplay them, but not giving them their due. Like, that's at least a third of our business. And, you know, we're getting shipments every week, and a lot of working artists and also student artists seem to get all their stuff here, as far as I can tell.
So the front of the store, or the firehouse, as it were, it's all books, but the back, I just see looking around, is lots of art supplies there.
Like, this is obviously the children's stuff, but beyond that, we have a full selection of like paints, brushes, canvas, drawing materials.
Any new initiatives coming up over the next year? You're going to be branching out. Anything new? Or
as far as I can tell, I know, as mentioned, Kelly, the owner, just had a baby. So,
yes, congratulations to Kelly.
Yep. And we have the book festival, which keeps our hands full for about like 2 or 3 months of the year. Then after that, we have the crazy summer and the holiday season. So I don't know how much more stuff we want to add so much as develop what we're already doing.
Who's your competition? Do you see any other book stores as competition, or do you see other restaurants or pubs here as competition?
The Hudson thing specifically, I think there's like this very sort of we're all in this together sort of atmosphere. So I mean, you know, and everybody in this town, maybe because it's still kind of so small, like, is doing everything a little bit differently. So, I mean, for example, I'm sure there's, like, some music this evening at Helsinki, but it's, like, it's such a different experience. Like, you know, there you're going to this world-class club, whereas here it's, like, kind of sitting around in someone's basement hearing a band practice, almost, and, you know, disrespect bands. But similarly, there's another bar too, but they're like a late night kind of like seedier, again, no disrespect, but you know, more of a, like a bar, whereas this is more of like this PG-13 sort of circumstance where you're coming in with the stroller and the dog. And then there's another bookstore up the street, which is a fantastic bookstore, but they do like antiquarian and rare books and like used books. So if you're coming, if you're looking for something that's been out in the last 10 years, you're probably going to come here. Whereas if you're looking for like a beautiful copy of something to bestow on somebody, you know, you might go over there instead. Mm-hmm. So it's not really another place that's doing exactly what we're doing. And there's not even like, unfortunately, I wish there was like another like bar that kind of does like the beer thing so much in town. It'd be great if there was.
You're supplying a great need here. Yeah, I mean, don't stop.
Yeah, I won't. Like, you know.
Okay. Is there anything else that you'd like to mention that I haven't asked you?
I hope anyone who hasn't come in would feel free to come in and mention that they heard it on the radio. Maybe there's a beer in it. Like, please stop in. We're friendly. We're happy. We're open 7 days a week. Often much later than our posted hours, so don't hesitate to stick your head in and see if we're still open, because we probably will be, and I don't know, we're here.
Well, cheers, Jess. I'm enjoying my sun hot beer here. I've just been talking to Jess Puglisi, who is the manager of the Spotty Dogs and Ale bookstore in Hudson, New York.
Once again, driving north on my own. Vermont, of course. I saw a sign. I went in. Oh, it was open at the Grand. Piece of pie all alone. Christmas night on my own in the coffee week. Gas is cheap at this diner on the road. Exchanging looks with a girl, nothing more. Not my world, drifting off to conversations, other people's situations. An old friend comes to mind. Think to myself, so much time between us through the years. Summer suffers, Christmas beers, the bodies moved. Hearts and minds to other people were entwined, were entwined.
And that was Robert Sarazen Blake performing at the Spotty Dog Books and Ale last week. And just wanted to give a huge thank you to Spotty Dogs that supported us over the years. And they also design a lot of our posters. So thank you, Jess and Alan.